This is tape for the conversation with Reverend W.T. Walker, March 18. Continue.
I was about to...
The crowd following the demonstrators in Birmingham.
Yes. I was referring particularly to the Saturday before the truce. On that Friday, there had been some rock throwing by spectators. And we felt...
White spectators?
No, Negro spectators.
At whom?
At policemen.
At police?
Yes, uh-huh. And this did not grow out of the demonstration per se, but at the policemen's insistence to make them move back, get up on the curb, just rough treatment generally, and they resented it. And I think a woman or so was struck. And so out of a crowd of 1,000 people, some rocks and bricks came. So in response, we felt that in order not to have the nonviolent thrust scarred by rock throwing, which if the demonstration originated at 16th Street Church, it would naturally draw the crowd. So what we did that morning, we began to distribute our demonstrators to other points in the city, to other churches, and they left the church in twos and threes. And that day, even though there were some 300 or 400 arrested, not a single demonstration originated at 16th Street Church. Well, we couldn't let the spectators know what we were doing, nor did we want the police particularly to know, because what happened, our picketers were beginning to show up downtown. They were down at the city hall. They were over at Sears and Roebuck. They were just coming from all quarters, coming from the train station. And the police couldn't figure out where they were coming from, because they were not leaving the church in lines as they had been. Well, the spectators waited from, say, 11 that morning, which was an off day, until about 4 that afternoon, waiting to see some action, waiting to see the demonstrators, and none ever appeared. So they had gathered in the park, which is a shaded area, and the firemen had set up their hoses at two corners of the park, one on 5th Street, one on 6th Street. And the mood was like a Roman holiday. It was festive. There wasn't anybody among the spectators who were angry, and they had waited so long, and it was beginning to get dark now. So somebody heaved a brick because they knew that. They had been chanting, "Turn the water hose on, turn the water hose on." And the Bull Connor navigated where. Then somebody threw a brick, and he started turning them on, see? So they just danced and played in the hose spray. This famous picture of them holding hands. It was just a frolic of them trying to stand up in front. And some of them would get knocked down by the hose. They'd get up and run back, and it would slide them along the pavement. Then they began bringing the hose up from the other corner. And instead of Negro regime, they ran to the hose. It was a holiday for them. And this went on for a couple of hours. It was a joke, really. All in good humor and good spirit. Not any vitriolic response on the part of even the Negro spectators. Which, to me, again, was an example of the changing spirit, when Negroes once had been cowed in the presence of policemen and maybe water hoses. Here they had complete disdain for them and made a joke out of it.
What kind of people were in this crowd?
Mostly marginal and submarginal livers, people who came in from the
very
rural,
poor.
Yes, the very poor.
The town people or country people?
Both.
Both.
Primarily, I would say, townspeople who were not inclined to get into the movement per se, to take the training and whatnot. With all of the more than 3,400 people who went to jail, there was hardly an instance of anybody going to jail who was not signed up, whose accurate record was not made, and who did not receive 2 hours of instruction.
3,400 people.
Yeah. Tremendous administrative responsibility, but we saw it. Nobody will ever know, I guess, until I get my Birmingham diary finished of what really went into Birmingham. But it's an operation that I was proud to have a part in, which I take a great deal of pride in the smoothness with which it operated.
Albany is an episode that's coming to lead to criticism of one sort or another.
Mm-hmm. Well, revolutions are not resolved in a single battle. Albany had no apparent gains per se, but in that paper that I gave you, published by New York University,
yeah,
I document the gradual, not gradual, but the perceptive change of the city fathers in their inflexible position that they took at the beginning. The closing down of public facilities, the integration of public schools, the abridging of constitutional rights guaranteed under the First Amendment. At every point, they approximated their former inflexible position. And whereas the Negro did not have any positive gains that were visible, yet the system of segregation had been successfully challenged. And I think the story of Albany is not over yet. The fact that you have something going on there now, you still have a movement. The fact that the Albany movement exists in the life of the Negro at all is different.
You know, Lomax's analysis of that, of course.
Yes, can I say something about Louis Lomax?
Please.
One of the most informed chroniclers of the Negro movement alive. Mechanically, Lou Lomax is a good writer, but Lou lacks integrity, and I would say this to him as quickly as I say it to you. It is difficult to believe, but I can document it. With all of the pages that Lou Lomax wrote about Albany, Georgia, could you believe that he never set his foot in the town? With all of the pages that he wrote about Martin Luther King Jr., could you believe he never once interviewed him? And some people think that my criticism of Lou is because they felt he gave me a bad treatment in the book. I do not feel so. I think he was absolutely accurate in his description of me. He had one or two facts off. But as to my demeanor and my attitude, he was as honest as any man could be. So it isn't anything personal. It's a matter of his, what I call, maltreatment of an analysis of the movement about which he's generally uninformed. I've heard some response to his lectures around the country on Birmingham. Lou is not knowledgeable about Birmingham because he wasn't long enough there to know or to grasp or to understand all that was involved in Birmingham. And I think it's unfortunate that the general reading community, white and Negro, who are interested in the movement, look to Louis Lomax as an honorable.
Many do. Uncritically.
Yes. But here again, this is another casualty of the revolution. Those of us who could do an interpretive job and are intimate about its working have no time to write it because we are it.
Only Caesar did that.
Yes. And of course, that was in the day when a revolution was slow moving.
Slow moving. Alas, I've got to go, and I'm sure you're ready for a little release from this.
Yes, I've got a few little things to
finish up. I know you have.